This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Dave Brown, and this is a podcast version of AMI's Morning Show, Now with Dave Brown. Catch the live broadcasts weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio and AMI TV.
Welcome back. It's Now with Dave Brown on AMI. As we've reported in a couple of news segments, the lines at airports, they are long. The lines for passports, they're long too, which is something of a pain in the butt for travelers. But it does mean that people are back to traveling, including our lifestyle columnist, Shiny Saravanamuthu. You might recall that a few months ago, we played a game called What's in Shiny's Purse. Well, today we're going to play the game of What's in Shiny's Suitcase. Hey, good morning, Shiny.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well. Always fun talking to you. Shiny, let's start with a reminder of where you're heading and why you're heading over there.
So I am heading to Iceland on June 6th, and I'm heading there because I'm taking part in the Retina International World Congress, and I'll I'm organizing the youth program. So I'm representing Canada, and I'll be representing the youth program of the Retina International Foundation. So I'm going there for about a week, and I haven't left the country like most of you guys since before COVID. So this is exciting and weird and stressful all at the same time.
Yeah, I haven't crossed an international border since 2019. So it's been a minute for me as well. Shiny, are you nervous at all with some of these airport lineups and some of these delay horror stories?
Yeah, so my flight is actually from Montreal to Toronto and then Toronto to Iceland. So I made
Dreaded transfer.
Yeah, so I made sure I took the path that gave me more time at Pearson, because Pearson, no offense guys, is a nightmare.
So the worst airport in the existence of mankind.
Yeah, so I made sure like I get into Toronto at 7, even though my flight's at 11:30 p.m. So I made sure to give myself enough time because I've heard the lineups are horrible. So yeah, even coming back, I made sure I have enough time to do customs and everything from Toronto to get into Montreal.
Shiny, let's turn our attention to your suitcase. The whole point of this segment. Would you say that you pack light or you're someone who packs more than you need for traveling abroad? I'm guilty myself of being an overpacker, but as a dude, I do have some privileges in terms of like shoe and wardrobe variety, and I also don't have to worry much about like beauty products or cosmetics. So where do you land in the overpacking versus packing light debate?
Okay, maybe I'm a bit of an overpacker because it depends on where I'm going. So this time, Iceland has really got me confused because their temperature and their like climate is very all over the place depending on where you're going. So in the main city center, it can be like 12 degrees and super nice. The sun is very screeching hot that it can burn you, but like there's no humidity there. So there can be a lot of wind and it can be very cold and dry. But then if I go see the glaciers, it is going to be cold. I need to pack boots. So it's like, I'm very confused on how to do this properly. Also, I don't know if you guys are aware, you have to now check in luggage where you have to pay even if it's an international flight. So one-way suitcase to Iceland is $70.
Oof.
So me and my sister are wondering if we should just get one big suitcase and put all our stuff in there and save ourselves $140 in total. So we're like trying to figure that out. So it's a little confusing, but I normally try to be cautious of how I pack so I don't have to bring too much stuff. Like I'll usually bring dresses, which are very small and like very thin, or I'll just bring a bunch of tops and a few pants and like kind of mix match, you know? I'm a little confused on how to pack, to be honest.
But it sounds like due to climate, this is definitely going to be a situation where there's going to be a checked bag, whether it's two checked bags between you and your sister or just one big old one.
Yeah, 100% there's going to be a check bag. We both need to pack our puffer jackets, which are, they're easily like able to just like scrunch into a small little ball and put in our suitcase. We're just kind of confused on like the boots situation.
Yeah, the shoe thing's a big thing. I got big feet over here, so when I want to pack shoes, that's going to take up a whole bunch of room in the bag. Shiny, when you and I talked about our day-to-day bags, in your case, your purse, in my case, either my shoulder bag or my school bag, we talked about how we keep them pretty well organized. When you're packing to go abroad, do you keep an organized suitcase?
So I do keep an organized suitcase, but I also do pack a backpack with me because I need something to be able to bring with me when I'm sightseeing or going about. I do have a little small black backpack that I keep with me, and it has several compartments in it. So I'm able to know, like, okay, in this compartment, I have my hand sanitizer, my afterbite, and, like, you know, and I also have all my little pills in case you get a headache or, you know, something like that. So I have my little compartments within my backpack, and then to have also somewhere to keep our water bottles or snacks. So I always make sure to have a backpack with me no matter where I'm traveling, just because you want to be able to put all your little things that you want to carry with you at all times.
Mm-hmm. I hope you don't find this question crass, but you are someone who's going through the experience of a vision loss. Has that changed how you pack?
100%, because I always have to go, I pack a flashlight with me because sometimes the one on the cell phone isn't enough, but I don't think I'll need it as much in Iceland because there is going to be like 22 hours of sunlight or 20 hours of sunlight when I'm there. So there's only 2 hours of nighttime when I'm there, which is great for someone who has RP. So
not so great for someone like me who has albinism. Yeah, it's kind of the opposite.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that. But yes, having vision loss has changed the way I pack because I do have to pack more things. I don't wear heels as much anymore because not as easy for me to walk because my vision's not that great. And if I do fall, and wearing heels is not the best situation. Yeah. So there's little things. I have my magnifier now, which I'll be using. So there's little things that do help me in that sense, but definitely the flashlight, my sunglasses, my regular glasses, my cell phone, which I used to zoom in on things, but now I have my magnifier. So all those little things, that's why the backpack is so important, because I have so many things to carry with me now that a little side purse doesn't do it anymore.
Yeah, I know that with my suitcase, I have a very particular way that I put things into particular pockets now. I'll even sort of zone out spots in the bag where that's where this particular item goes. So as you say, if it's really dark in a room or the lighting or the vision situation is not ideal, that I kind of know where to feel around to find things on the fly. So it's something that I've been super cognizant over the years, and even things like keeping all my certain kinds of cosmetics in one front pocket and a different kind of cosmetic in a different front pocket. I definitely am someone who likes to compartmentalize a little bit with my bag when I'm moving around. Shiny, not to deviate too far from the path here, but have you had any considerations about orientation and mobility and maybe a couple hacks or tricks that you might try and employ when you're going somewhere new? I know, for example, one of our friends from the Vancouver Bureau will always put a rubber band on his hotel room door so that certainly if he's not being guided to his room, he can always try to feel door handles. But do you have something in mind in regards to some of those kind of hacks and tricks?
So what I do is when I book a hotel, sometimes I just end up calling the hotel to ask me if they can send me the layout of the room. They tend to have like the layout drawn just because I know when to walk in, where the light switches are going to be, where the bed is, how everything's going to be. Also, hotels are very notorious for not having the best lighting. So that's another situation, right? So just to be, because sometimes you walk in and it's not well lit. And so you can see. So knowing the layout, and sometimes you can even find the layout of the rooms on the hotel website. So if they don't have it, I just call and I ask just to figure that out. And usually a lot of these hotels are very, very accessible and very open to helping you if you let them know. So I usually just call in advance and just ask for a more accessible room or just to, if I'm alone, have someone help me if I can't figure it out. But this time I will be with my sister, so that is a plus. But I did like the rubber band trick is actually pretty neat, but usually I count the doors to the other and then,
that's sort of my moves. I'll do a lot of door counting, on my way. Although sometimes after enough adult beverages, the door counting strategy, not the best one. Shiny, I also imagine due to the nature of the conference, I'm sure the hotels are going to be kind of on high alerts to make sure that they're a little more accommodating than even like the standard level.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There'll be a lot of us there.
Well, Shiny, listen, I know you're leaving in a couple days. Safe travels. I hope everything goes super smoothly. I hope the conference is amazing, and I can't wait to hear it next time we have you on for a community report to hear how it went.
Yes, perfect. Well, have a great, spring.
Yeah, it's called spring.
spring, and I'll catch up with you guys in a couple of weeks.
You've been listening to Now with Dave Brown. Hit the subscribe button on any podcast platform and leave us a rating and a review.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.